Welcome to the NutraCast, a production by Nutra Ingredients USA. I'm Danielle Masterson. Thank you for joining me here on the NutraCast, where we talk and share insights from inside the nutrition industry. Between COVID-19, supply chain issues, and inflation, life is taking a serious toll on mental health. But more and more people are looking for ways to address mental health without a prescription. Joining me now is Dr. Rebecca Siegel, a clinical psychiatrist with Amen Clinics and author of the newly published book, The Brain on Cannabis, What You Should Know About Recreational and Medical Marijuana. Hi, Dr. Siegel, and welcome to the NutraCast.
Hi, Danielle. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me. So tell me a little bit about your background and your role at Amen Clinics.
I'm an adult and child psychiatrist, and I actually have three daughters of my own, 25, 22, and 16. So I'm a mom, I'm a psychiatrist, and I have been at Amen Clinics for about almost 5 years. And prior to that, I was in practice about 15 years. So I've been doing this type of work for about 20 years.
And so CBD obviously is a little bit newer. It hasn't quite been around, or we haven't been using it for quite that long. So tell me about your experience in incorporating CBD into your mental health practice.
Absolutely. So about 5 years ago, prior to joining Amen Clinic, my patients started asking me about cannabis and, all of things like CBD and THC. And, one specifically, my first, I call her patient zero. Came to me and basically said, that she didn't need any type of, pharmaceutical medication for sleep. I had been prescribing her medicine for sleep for a very long time. And, it's a big problem. She turned to me and said, I don't need you to prescribe it anymore. I said, I couldn't believe it. I said, what did you do? And she actually showed me a chocolate bar that she'd gotten in Denver. And that was back in 2018. Right. But her question was, could I help her? She didn't want to be traveling with cannabis in any way across state lines. Right. And so that sort of was my intro to trying to, to understand about what cannabis could do, what cannabis included. Right. I had no real idea about whether it was THC or CBD or all the other, phytocannabinoids in this incredible plant. When she posed that question to me, and actually just it sort of the floodgates opened and people started asking, and I wanted to know more. I wanted to be able to help. I didn't have enough information or education or awareness to help others. So I thought the first thing I have to do is, educate myself.
And so how did you go about that? That was in New York, by the way, right?
That was in New York. And I knew that New York did have a medical cannabis program, right? So it was legal. Medical cannabis was legal. And actually very recently, adult use or recreational cannabis it's legalized, and dispensaries are just waiting to be set up. That has not occurred yet. But, yes, the idea behind cannabis and how it could help. First of all, I started reading. I actually got certified to recommend cannabis for my patients, right? And whether that meant THC or CBD or some combination of the two. I also started going to conferences and, just trying to educate myself in every way, and also really started seeing many more patients who were coming to me asking all these types of questions for, how could cannabis be helpful to them?
And so I got to ask, what all was in that chocolate bar?
It was THC and CBD, a combination of the two.
Okay.
So CBD, it's a whole an ecosystem unto itself.
It truly is. And so what do we know so far about CBD and mental health from a research perspective?
That's a very good question. And I ask it myself. And I do a lot of research trying to find out what the latest research and research studies have shown. And what I know, as of now, is that, what they say about CBD is that it might be very helpful for things like social anxiety or autism spectrum disorders, maybe psychotic symptoms. It's also Epidiolex is an FDA approved medication that is solely CBD, and that has been helpful for children with severe seizure disorders. right? So that, I mean, that's that was an incredible, incredible development, you know, toward helping children with, you know, just terrible, terrible seizure disorders, almost hundreds or thousands a day in a day. The other thing is that, so there's some evidence for that, like I said, with social anxiety, ADHD, autism spectrum, psychosis, cognitive impairment. There's weaker evidence for me. It might be helpful for insomnia or PTSD, Tourette's, things like that.
So I know that you work with a variety of different patients. You mentioned patient zero had a sleep issue. You also mentioned, you know, some other anxiety and things. I mean, is there a one-size-fits-all approach? Do you just give everybody CBD, or do you tackle these various challenges with different types of minor cannabinoids and different dosing?
Absolutely. I absolutely say that there is no one-size-fits-all to cannabis in any way. And definitely it takes an individual approach. And that's almost what I think about with just clinical, as a physician, using cannabis and using CBD or THC or combos, things like that. You need to have an individual approach for people. Some people will respond very well. Others will respond very poorly. And the other thing is that not everybody wants to use THC. Not everybody wants to get high. You know, people want relief. They want quality of life improvements, and they want relief, and they want options. Those are very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
I see myself as a, you know, a very open-minded physician. You know, when I was in med school, there was no education about any of this at all. And also in, you know, med school residency fellowship, I didn't start getting involved with this until I was almost 15 years into practice.
What about when you were in med school in terms of dietary supplements? Was that any part of the curriculum?
Absolutely not.
Tell me about your line, because you also have something called Brain Med.
Oh, Brain MD. So where I work, I'm in clinic. That's okay. At Amen Clinic, we have a line of supplements. And so for the last 5 years, it has been an incredible addition to my practice, you know, how I help people, as not everybody wants to take pharmaceutical medication. And so I definitely have the, you know, wonderful, you know, armamentarium of supplements, whether it's GABA or, you know, serotonin or all types of very, you know, more natural holistic types of therapies, as well as pharmaceutical, as well as the thought of cannabis, THC, and CBD.
How common is it for your patients to walk in and say, hey, I've got depression, or I've got this type of disorder or anxiety, but I don't want pharmaceuticals? Is that a pretty common issue for you, or
Absolutely. It is very common. It's very common. And I think that where I work at Amen Clinic, we're kind of known for taking a more natural, holistic approach to mental health and, you know, things that people are struggling with.
And as a physician who specializes in mental health issues, especially with, you know, adolescents, how do you talk to young people about using CBD and these other cannabinoids that you sometimes recommend?
Well, definitely you want to make them feel comfortable, first of all. And if they're below the age of 18, you know, you want to sort of engage the family, right? If you can, you know, having parents involved. And it's very important to be open about it, you know, encouraging discussion, right? But in a way that will not accuse, right? You want to make them feel comfortable. You don't want to put them on the defensive immediately. You know, you want to ask questions in a way that, you know, like you're, you know, having a conversation, not necessarily, are you doing this, or, you know, or your friend's doing this. That will turn them off immediately. And I know, as I've been through with my own, you know, my own daughters, you know, and I have a 16-year-old. Definitely you want an open line of discussion.
Can you prescribe CBD and other minor cannabinoids to minors?
It's not prescribing necessarily, right? So CBD, I mean, if there's a couple of ways you can go about obtaining CBD, right? You can get it through like a medical dispensary. Right. And that's basically what I don't recommend that anyone whose brain is developing, you know, under the age of, you know, mid 20s. Right. That's when your brain is developing, maturing, growing. You know, you really want to be aware of what you're exposing your brain to, and whether that is that can be THC, that can be unhealthy nutrition, that can be, you know, that can be poor sleep, that can be all these things that will impact, you know, how your brain matures and grows. It can be head injuries. You want a healthy brain, and you want to do it in a whole lot of ways, but definitely whether CBD you know, I will suggest it at times. I don't certify young people for any type of cannabis or CBD product to get it medically legally. I might recommend that they get CBD as it is legal. You can go about getting a, you know, good CBD products. Obviously, you have to be very cautious. You want to make sure that the product that you might be getting, you know, is free of things, you know, that like dangerous pesticides, heavy metals, all those types of things. You want, you know, quality control, a good product. It is, you know, it is legal CBD, right? But you definitely don't want to get it off the street. And THC is a different thing. In very, very, very few cases have I ever recommended or and certified anybody under the age of you know, 21 to get any type of cannabis product.
And when it comes to parents, is there a major educational piece there? Because I remember, gosh, it was a few months ago, MOTS came out with a survey, and a lot of parents actually thought, I want to say like the majority of parents thought that CBD got you high.
Okay, so yes, so definitely you need to have proper education, right? That CBD is, it's not THC, it's not the psychoactive component that's going to get you high. But CBD might have, you know, it might have very positive effects, but it also may have some negative effects for people, for sure. And that's why you have to, if you're going to try it, I would definitely recommend that you talk to your, you know, your physician about it or your primary care provider about it. You know, because what if you are taking medications that might interact, or you have, there are certain, you know, certain things that you don't want to be, you know, combined with CBD or anything. You know, your medical care provider needs to understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, and if it can interfere with anything that's going on, you know, just medically for you.
But I have to say, I mean, isn't that the problem? There's a lot of doctors out there who don't know anything about it.
100%. There needs to be education all the way around. Much more education. And that's sort of why I said, if I don't know and I don't understand, you know, and people are asking me about it, I need to educate myself. And that was where the book came in, right? I felt like, wow, I'm collecting all this, you know, this knowledge, clinical, but also, you know, educating myself in the ways that I could with, you know, good research and, you know, the scientific studies, right? And that's where the book came from.
Yeah, you mentioned pharmacokinetics. I mean, what do we know about various medications and, say, CBD? Are there certain medications that you are aware of that just don't jive well with CBD and other cannabinoids?
Yeah, well, definitely, for sure. But I think that, you know, like it's you know, you want to talk to your physician about it for sure. And definitely, like, they found that in young children that parents might want to try CBD for various things, behavioral issues or ADD, things like that, that it might actually cause liver toxicity, which, you know, because medications and, you know, even natural products are metabolized through our livers, and you don't want to do any harm to your liver. You know, the other thing is people who might take too much, use too much, you know, too high of a dosage, right? Mm-hmm. That could also be very harmful and impact their, you know, all kinds of things, medications, their liver, all, you know, have them not feel well. A big, some of the side effects include like nausea or, you know, vomiting, nausea, diarrhea. You know, that's definitely, you know, those are side effects you don't want.
So you're not, you know, so you're saying CBD doesn't necessarily cause liver toxicity, but when combined with other medications, it possibly could?
That, but also that, no, the research has shown that in some, it may not be many, but in some, it might cause liver toxicity, and that may be because of too high doses being used, right? That's the thing. So we have to do more research and larger studies, you know, that are well controlled, to show sort of where the dosage, you know, should be for children, adolescents, et cetera. You know, they're not little adults.
Right.
You know, if you take too much, right, it can cause a whole lot of problems.
Yeah. So is there much research out there on young people and minors using CBD and other things? Is that considered ethical? I mean, how do you go about that?
Yes, it's really hard. And there's not a lot of evidence. In fact, I was looking, and it's really quite scarce. You know, yes, it is federally legal. It's very hard to regulate you know, such a large industry. You know, that's why if you're going to obtain any kind of CBD that's outside of a medical dispensary, because, you know, you can get a CBD product. It's hard and it's there are fewer, but you can actually get CBD in medical dispensaries. But if you're going to get, you know, if you get CBD, it's everywhere. You want to check and see if they have, you know, a certificate of authenticity so that you can know what is in the product, right? Because what they say is in the product should be in the product. You don't want too much THC. You know, there's legally it has to be less than 0.3% THC in any kind of CBD product. And sometimes when the testing has been done, it's found that there's been even, you know, been much higher quantities of THC. That's dangerous. Want a good product that's been tested.
And before I let you go, do you have any new books or research or news that you might want to share with the listeners?
Oh, I'm not sure I'm ever going to write another book. This took 4 years in the making. And Daniel Amen, the head of Amen Clinic, was a tremendous, tremendous force behind getting it basically from, I'd say, from seed to sale, from idea to actual, you know, being published on Amazon. And and it was 4 years of you know, learning and research. And it was an incredible, I edited a book through the pandemic. So it definitely gave me a focus. But I know that people are very curious about certainly cannabis, which is out there and not going away. And I say that, you know, people really need to be educated, have an awareness of an understanding of it. And that's what, you know, not a lot of people have, and also young people, just especially, you know, they don't understand how much more potent cannabis is now than it ever was. We want to help our youth for sure, and everybody with their brain health, their overall body health. You know, being safe, being aware, being educated is my goal. You know, to educate my patients for sure.
And it's so interesting that you said that Mr. Amen was instrumental in getting the Brain on Cannabis book out there, because you said he's not a fan of cannabis.
No, he's not. And there have been definitely research studies that have shown that cannabis, you know, chronic use of cannabis can impact, you know, multiple brain areas. And we need to let people understand that and know that. And, you know, my approach is always an approach of moderation, an approach of education, trying to get people to understand, you know, what they do now may impact them 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road. It's very hard to get an adolescent or someone in their early 20s to understand that, right? That's their frontal lobes or their impulse control centers may not be fully developed. Trying to sort of start the conversation and get people to understand, you know, that this is what you want to think about, I think is my sort of way to help people.
Definitely a conversation worth having. Dr. Rebecca Siegel, thank you so much for joining me here on the NutriCast.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you like what you just heard, you can subscribe to the NutriCast wherever you get your podcast. You can also head to NutraIngredients-USA.com for even more Nutra-related content. Thank you for listening. I'm Danielle Masterson. As always, I'll catch you here on the NutriCast next week.